السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. إن شاء الله تعالى, we're carrying on our readings of a juz a day. In today's juz, we're looking at juz 7, إن شاء الله تعالى. And so the juz begins, and we're carrying on with Surah Al-Ma'idah, which, as we mentioned before, is a Madani surah, so and one of the final surahs that was revealed of the Quran. And so here there's a discussion of وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى عَيُّنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ, that when they hear that which is revealed to the Prophet, you see their eyes overflowing with tears from what they recognize of the truth. And this is a discussion of the Najashi and the people of Ethiopia. That when the Quran is recited in their presence, you see them becoming overwhelmed with tears because they have this inherent goodness in them. Like literally the verse before talks about how the Christians are the closest to you and they are going to have the most love and the most affection for you out of all the nations that are non-Muslims. So here's an example of that. That they hear the Quran and they can't help but be drawn to the Quran. There's this goodness in them from the Christian religion that they do follow, that drives them to recognize that there is some truth and goodness in the religion. And there is all truth and all goodness in the religion of Islam, but they have some affinity with it. And it leads them to just start crying when they hear the Quran. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue. One of the themes in the surah, on this juz, is going to be this, this idea that you shouldn't arrogate to yourself the duty of speaking on God's behalf. Okay, so this is not like it's not going to come everywhere, but there's definitely some consistency in that you're going to see this idea that do not make things prohibited, that do not have the right to be prohibited, do not make halal what is already prohibited, do not interfere in the sanctity or in sacred law, do not decide for yourself what is the law, because if it's the sacred law, then only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the authority to decide these things. So when we move forward, we see the verse, and here we're looking at verse 87, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُحَرِّمُوا طَيِّبَاتِ مَا حَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا, that you who believe, do not make prohibited those things that are pure and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made permissible for you, and do not go overboard. Allah does not love those who go overboard. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if I've given you food that's pure, don't put it on yourself that this is now haram upon myself. There's a discussion maybe about those self-enforced vegetarians who consider it a sort of religious duty not to eat meat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that's halal. You choose not to eat it for whatever reason, but you can't arrogate this as divine law, that this is the duty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on myself, not to eat meat. And if you have a health problem, which means you can't eat it, but you have to recognize that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate meat, you know, so you can't. This is like a modern version of this, you know, the Muslim, the Islamic vegetarianism, which is a movement that's not as, you know, as prominent as I'm probably making it sound, but it has some existence. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the oaths, that if you make an oath, you have to make sure you hold to it. And if you start breaking your oaths, then you're going to have to pay expiation and feeding the poor and clothing them or freeing slaves or fasting. So these are things that if you fall short in the making of your oaths, and there's a very sort of detailed fiqh of the Yaminul Ghamus and all these different types of oaths, that if you study the fiqh, obviously we're on the madhab of Abu Hanifa, but if you study fiqh, you'll see that there is a lot of sophistication to the fiqh of oaths and how they actually work and how you have to expiate for breaking an oath. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of some of the most egregious evils that exist. And he says that he talks about alcohol, he talks about gambling, he talks about these sort of soothsaying practices that the Meccans had, or the people of Arabia had. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these are just filth from the actions of the devil. And you have to avoid these so that you may be successful. And one of the core reasons, that this is just social guidance, you know, that you need to avoid gambling and all of these weird practices, because especially when it comes to gambling and alcohol, this is so profound. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُوقِيَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ, that the alcohol and the maysir, the gambling, all they do is they create animosity between you. How many fights do people have because of alcohol related? You know, they lose control. They don't have that self-control anymore. They get angry. They start saying things that they did, that all that you become inebriated. You don't have that control over what you're saying, what you're feeling, your emotions. And so you just let fly. And then that just causes, then now you're picking up, that you wake up the next day with a gigantic headache. And there's a good, I think it's David Nutt, who's a professor, I think, at UCL, who's actually shown that alcohol and legal drugs are more dangerous than illegal drugs. And there are studies now that show, even, you know, once upon a time, they used to have this thing, if you drink red wine, it's good for you, like dark chocolate or good for your heart. Now they're saying a sip of wine is destructive because it's poison. It's literally poison. And your body recognizes this poison. And that's why the next day when you wake up, it's there trying to drive the poison out of your body. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and then gambling. Gambling is another source of misfortune, of fighting, of animosity and hatred, because your children, you're spending their money, you're spending your wife's money, you're losing money, and it's affecting your family, and it's affecting your community. And then maybe you owe the person money now, so they're going to come looking for it. So there's this sort of domino effect of hatred and animosity that's being created. And it's all from the shaitan, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. And it distracts you or blocks you from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the prayer. So you have to stop. And so that's what the Quran is saying. After this, there's you know, some very interesting verses even straight after. But after this, we have the ruku' that starts from ayah 94, that, O you who believe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, you know, this idea of hunting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about hunting. And that we have this permissibility of hunting. And but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is laying out the rules for hunting. That this is how you have to do it, and that we have to go to the fiqh books again about the Kitab al-Sayyid and what happens, and you have to say the name of Bismillah and what happens with the animal once you've actually hit it and things like this. But we know that the animal that you hunt and you kill through hunting is halal, you know, as long as it's the actual piercing. Anyway, there's a fiqh to it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but don't do it when you're in a state of ihram, and don't do it in the haram and things like this. So there's a lot of discussion here about food. There's talking about the fish in the sea and what you're allowed to eat. And here the Hanafis have a very different opinion to many of the other ulama, who say that you can eat like crustaceans and things. Anyways, and then it moves on to talk about the Kaaba Sharifa and the centrality of the Kaaba Sharifa. So the Ja'alallah al-Ka'bat al-Bayt al-Haram Qiyaman lil-Nas wa Shahr al-Haram wal-Hadya wal-Qala'id. So the discussion on that. Then afterwards, there's a few verses. There's a nice ruku', don't ask about things that if they become unveiled to you, you're not going to like it. But if we move forward, and there's a wasiya section, we want to move to the next section, which is a discussion about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. So this, we've zoomed forward quite a bit to ayah number 110. And this is now talking, and we know that in Medina, this is where the Christians are now an engagement in conversation, because you have the tribe of Najran, who are not far from Medina Munawwara, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is meeting them. Many of them accept Islam. They come, and I think in one riwayah they worship in Masjid al-Nabawi, which now shows that non-Muslims are allowed to pray in the masjid. But there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is really a discussion on Isa alayhi salam and his response to the... It's like a long discussion, but with قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Jesus, the son of Mary, remember the blessings that we placed you upon you and your mother. We gave you the Ruh al-Qudus. We strengthened you with the Ruh al-Qudus. Jibreel alayhi salam, you spoke in the cradle. We taught you the book. All of these blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, that you were able to create birds and they were able to fly by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cure the sick, bring the dead to life. And the Bani Israel just did not accept anything. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just listing the great blessings that he bestowed about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he has these Hawariyun, the disciples. He's just telling the story of Isa alayhi salam. Okay, so that we reveal to the disciples that they have to believe in me and with my prophet. And then here's the crux, because this is now why the surah is named Surah Ma'idah, is that the disciples ask Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam to reveal from them a table spread from the heavens, because they want to eat, and they're saying, can your Lord reveal one from the heavens? And then Isa alayhi salam is saying, what, fear Allah, why are you asking this? Don't you already believe? And they say, we want our hearts to be content. And so we can be of those who bear testimony. So the Isa alayhi salam asks for this to descend. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for me, now it's coming. It's coming. For me, yakfur ba'du minkum. Like if you don't now, that's it. You know, now that's the danger of the sign. If you ask for a sign and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to you, then you have no excuse afterwards. The more explicit, that's why people are like, oh, why isn't Islam more obvious? But if it was obvious, everybody's going to hell if they don't accept it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps a subtlety in the religion to give people that opportunity to make tawbah, to come back, to come find it for themselves. And another thing is because Allah wants you to make the conscious effort to go discover Islam, to discover Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the realization that He's always there, you know. And so now you know that here's the ma'ida, now your heart's content. Now if you disbelieve after this, then there's just damnation for you. Then there's a conversation with Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, did you ask the people to make you gods, you know, to worship you? And then he says, glory to you, I don't have even the right to say something like this. And if I had said it, you would have known. You know everything. You're the knower of all the unseen. I just told them to worship you, my Lord and their Lord, your Lord. Like as in he's talking, he's saying, this is what I said to them, worship my Lord and your Lord. And as long as I was there, I was responsible. I took care of, you know, I was the witness over them. Now I'm gone. And Allah, this is, you know, you're watching over them now. And then he says this incredible line, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. And the Prophet ﷺ would recite this line in the night prayer, and he would weep. That if you punish them, then they're your slaves. Meaning, this is your ownership. This is like, this is my phone. If I decide I want to snap this phone in half, it's probably not, you know, it's the risk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so I shouldn't. But just on the level of milkiyah, that this is ownership, I can do what I want with my property. So he's saying, Ya Allah, you're the all-powerful, you can do what you want with them. But وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. But if you forgive them, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Then you are surely the powerful, the majestic, the wise. And so this is right at the end of Surah Ma'idah, is this discussion about Isa alayhi salam, who's saying that you can destroy everybody, Ya Allah, but if you forgive them. And what he's really saying is, I want you to forgive them. But it's just how the conversation between the Prophet and his Lord is very different to the conversation of a normal person and his Lord. And then we come to Surah Al-An'am. We start Surah Al-An'am today. Surah Al-An'am is a Makki Surah. So which means that, like, and people, you know, if you study some Ulum Al-Quran, and I know the Wise English Academy with Mawlana Shu'aib Shah will be running his sessions on Ulum Al-Quran, so you should definitely take part. But one of the distinctions you have is between the Makki Quran and the Madani Quran. In the Makki Quran is one about building the base, you know, this foundational base of theology, of beliefs in God, and just sort of rectifying the internal aspects of the heart, the soul, and the belief system that the mushrikeen were peddling. Whereas Medina is all about building community. And that's why Medina is very legalistic. It's very sort of community building. It's very civilizational. Whereas Makkah is all about the foundation. It's the heart. It's the root, the theological root of what the upcoming civilization or the succeeding civilization is going to look like. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَجَعَلَ الظُّلُمَاتِ وَالنُّورِ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ يَعْدِلُونَ. And there's going to be a lot of discussion about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can see it as much as the surah goes, you know, you can see everything. But then there's an interesting discussion about the mushrikeen, because the mushrikeen have this worldview in which, you know, I think in one way to describe it is like this very materialistic worldview. So they don't even believe in a hereafter. They don't believe in resurrection. They deny miracles. And they always, and this is like, in a sense, this is the modern condition. It's this ultimately materialistic worldview that really wants everything to be, even in our deen, we want everything to be spelled out for us. We don't like taking things on trust, you know, like, you know that this is an alim and he's to be trusted. No, I need to see the dalil. I need to see the material. I need to see the, and so the mushrikeen are such, they're like, we can't believe in an invisible God. We have to see the God and we have to build him with our own hands. That's how certain we have to be that this God exists, is that I built him myself and then I worship him, not realizing the absurdity and the contradiction of you worshiping a created God. And so now there's this discussion of the miracles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, that have they not seen what happened to the people before and how we destroyed them? But then it says that because they kept asking for miracles, they're saying, give us a book, give us this, we want to touch it with our own hands, send us an angel. They're really upset that they've got a prophet who's a human being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I could do all of this and you're still not going to believe. You're just going to reject this. So why, And then you don't have an excuse. That's the thing. Like I send the angel, and you say, well, yeah, he's an angel. The one of the in the Quran, in other places, Allah says that, they're going to say he's an angel. So he's not even like us. How can we follow him? So it's like, if you do or if you don't, damned if you do, damned if you don't. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that these people are just an obstinate, stubborn people. They're not to be convinced. You can't, but we're going to keep trying, because bulugh da'wah is still the prophetic duty. You have to still trying, keep trying to give them the da'wah, even though you can see طبع الله على قلوبهم, their hearts are sealed. And so then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the Messenger of God sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this rejection is hurting him. And he says, how many prophets before you? وَلَقَدْ اسْتُهْزِيَ. Many of them were mocked. But the people who mocked them were destroyed. So, for the fact that they used to mock them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, go see what happened to those people, the mockers, the rejectors, those people that thought that they were, the bee's knees, that they had all the answers. And then there's this amazing section where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just really emphasizes his divine power. Who has everything that's in the heavens and the earth? قُلْ لِلَّهِ. All of it belongs to God. كَتَبَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. He will gather you on the day of judgment. وَلَهُ مَا سَكَنَ. He has everything that settles in the night and the day. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And who do they take? Who do they take as their gods? They take other people as their protectors rather than the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he's feeding everybody, and he doesn't need to be fed. Oh God. Anyway, so the Quran is just talking about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala touches you with some sort of affliction, nobody can remove it except him. If he touches you with good, then he is powerful over all things. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. He is all powerful over his slaves. وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. قُلْ أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَكْبَرُ شَهَادَةً. What is the greatest testimony? قُلْ لِلَّهِ. Say God. شَهِيدٌ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ. He is the tester. He is the witness between you, between me and yourselves. And then it talks about the Quran and the fact that الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَعْرِفُونَ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They know the Quran. They believe the Quran. They recognize the Quran like they recognize their own children. Like the miraculous nature of the Quran is known to these people, but they're just being obstinate. This idea again of their stubbornness is just being emphasized so much. وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Day of Judgment. This is very, then it's about, this is like the natural conclusion of all of their rejection is the Day of Judgment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you carry on, that they have these seals on their hearts. But then if you go to verse 27, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ. When they're standing at the fire, فَقَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا نُرَدُّ. If only we could go back. What a powerful verse. وَلَا نُكَذِّبَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا. And not reject the signs of our Lord. وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And be from among the believers. بَلْ بَدَى لَهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُخْفُونَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. It's all now, it's out in the open now. And if they did, if we did send them back, they just carry on doing it. They just go back and do it again. So why are you lying? إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. These are liars. وَقَالُوا إِنْ هِيَ. This is what they used to say. There is no life after death. There's just this dunya. وَمَانَ. This is Meccan Quran. It's a very, if you read the Meccan Quran, one of the signs the ulama say of Meccan Quran is just there's this linguistic prowess. Now the whole Quran has linguistic prowess, but there's really an attempt to just bring this forceful reading, this forceful, Allahu Akbar, it's very powerful. فَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ. Taste the punishment because of what you used to believe. قَدْ خَسِرَ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُ. It's all very powerful. And then there's this interesting section, and I just want to touch on this because I find it, especially like, not here. But there's a whole discussion on the Day of Judgment and descend a sign and all of these things that are being asked. But here we go. So this is all very Meccan. It's all talking about prophets. It's talking about resurrection. So if you fast forward a bit to verse 42, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَى أُمَمٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. That we sent to nations before you prophets. We gave them affliction and hardship so that they would be humbled. So when the affliction came, they were humble. But then their hearts were heartened. And the shaitan started to beautify those things that they used to do before. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. This is what they call istidraj. This verse is one of the, for me, a scary verse. When they forgot the reminders that were given, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We started just to give them dunya. Like Allah gives you opportunities. You don't accept. He'll start to give you dunya. You think that's people, that the prosperity gospel that Donald Trump and these people believe in, that if God gives you wealth, it means he loves you. They don't know. This is فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. He's opened the doors of rizq. He's just drowning you in rizq. And you're just thinking, oh, this is good, and I'm rich, and you're poor, ha ha ha, bootstraps. And you're making all of these assertions, it's all about me. And حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا. Until they become so happy with what they're given, أخذناهم بغتة, and then we snatch them suddenly. We just snatch them suddenly. فإذا هم مبلسون. فقطع دابر القوم الذين ظلموا, destroyed people. And I think this is one riwayah, this is referring to the Badr, but I'm not 100% sure, so don't quote me. والحمد لله رب العالمين. Very scary verse. قل أرأيتم, the punishment comes suddenly. You're not expecting it. You're just sitting there minding. You're not minding your own business. You're minding somebody else's business. You're disobeying Allah. You're doing all these things. Then it comes and you're destroyed. And so it's a very powerful sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. And so there's more discussion now about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there's an interesting verse, 52, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about. وَلَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. Because the Meccans used to have, they were very like, how can we accept a religion where Suhaib al-Rumi and Bilal al-Habashi and all of these foreign people, this is the religion of the foreigners and the poor and the dejected, and so why should we follow this religion? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't listen to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You need to keep these people close because they believe. Allah will take care of them. Don't let them go, because then you'll be from the oppressors. You have to keep these people with you. Don't listen to these. It's like Surah Abasa has a similar theme, and there's a verse in Surah Kahf, I think. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ, I don't know if that's Surah Kahf, but there's a verse, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. Coming to the last section now, inshallah ta'ala. Then there's this amazing section talking about divine power, divine knowledge, that Allah subhanahu, because the mushrikeen didn't believe that Allah could see and hear everything. So they used to have this deny. They believed in Allah in a sense, but they denied His power, they denied His knowledge. And then all the Quran saying, if you look at verses 58 onwards, Allah knows everything. Allah knows everything. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِيحُ الْغَيْبِ. He has the keys to the unseen. لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. Nobody knows except Him. يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْمَاءِ. Look at this verse of just knowledge. He knows what's on the land and in the sea. There's not a leaf that drops except He knows. Not a seed in the darkness of the earth except He knows. Not a dry plant. Not a fresh plant except it is in the clear book. And He gives people death, and He all of this, you know, He brings you, takes, He gives you sleep every single night, and He knows what happens during the day, and then He's going to resurrect you for the coming. So that you can be judged on the one, when the moment is appointed, then you return to Him. Then He will inform you of everything you used to do, because He knows everything. This is just divine knowledge. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. He is all powerful over His slaves, and He's got these angels and the prophets. And so there's this amazing discussion about, you have to read this, you just have to read this for yourself. The Surah Al-An'am, there's so much about divine power, divine knowledge, divine will. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a section that talks about there's people who mock the religion, and he's been already been told that people have been mocked before you. But he said that Allah is saying, don't ignore these people, because we have a lot of وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا. You see people who start mocking our signs, then get away from them. You have friends who make fun of Islam, you don't hang around with them, because they'll slowly desensitize you to the sanctity of Islam. So the Quran is saying, just get away from these people, okay, and leave them. Don't have anything to do with them. They've been deluded by the dunya, you know, and remind them that they're going to have to take to account what they used to do. And then nobody will protect them. And so there's these very powerful verses. Final sections, we have a lot of discussion on Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So we have this, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam speaking to his father. So this is from verse 74 in Surah Al-An'am, when Ibrahim said to his father, Azar, do you take idols as gods? I see you and your people in clear misguidance. Like, this is the thing about Ibrahim, he's distancing himself from the people. They're not my people, they're your people. They don't worship Allah. How can they be my people? And then it's the famous incident where he's shown the glory of the heavens and the earth, so that he can be from those who bears testimony, who has certainty. And this is the story where saying Ibrahim alayhi salam sees the stars and said, these are my Lord. And then the star disappears and says, that's not my Lord. He sees the moon. He said, that's my Lord. Then he says, that's not my Lord. And then finally he says, and all of this, the ulama say, is him just arguing with his people. It's not he believes in this, because that's kufr and he's a prophet. Instead, he's laying out, he's playing, like, in a sense, angel's advocate, right? He's just trying to put forward the counter arguments to show, your counter arguments are facile. They have no leg to stand on. I'm going to demolish every single one of them with this amazing argument. They say Ibrahim alayhi salam is a man of great argumentation, of intellectual prowess. Alayhi salam, great prophet. From this, the second in the link, you know, the line of the prophets, the second highest of the prophets. And then he said this beautiful line that one of my teachers, Mawlana Amir Aziz, told me that before every prayer, you should recite this, Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal-ardha hanifan wa ma ana minal mushrikeen. I turn my face entirely to the one who created the heavens and the earth, the first to create them. the only one to create them, the one who created them without any other copying anybody. Hanifa, just complete monotheism, and I am not from the polytheists. And so you have this amazing argument that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has with his people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just lists these prophets, the line of prophets that have come. Ishaq and Ya'qub and Nuh, and from the dhurriya of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Dawood and Sulaiman, Ayyub, Yusuf, Musa, Harun, Zakaria, Yahya, Isa, Ilyas, Ismail, Yasa, Yunus, Waluta. All of these prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent from their fathers, from their progeny, from their brothers. We all selected these people. These are chosen people. This is the guidance of Allah. He guides whoever He wants. And then he goes on to say, this is ulaika alladhina had Allah guided all of them. Their guidance, you need to follow their guidance. And then وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهُ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. Then there's back to this idea of really emphasizing the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهُ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. But then the last section, and we'll finish with this inshallah, and is just this amazing passage. Again, remember, this is Mecca, so they have all of this nature, they have Ta'if, which is growing all of these things, but they deny the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They deny the monotheistic nature of faith. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from verse 95 onwards, is just this amazing depiction of the power of creation. That the seeds and everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He brings the life from the dead, and He brings the dead from the living. What are these lies that you're saying? You know, the morning, the night, all of these, the function of the moon as a time, to be a measure of time, the stars so that you can be guided. I'm just, every single verse here is just incredibly profound. If you just sit and ponder over this, everybody's been created from one nafs, you know, the rain that comes from the heavens, those drops of rain just create all of this incredible canopy of greenery that comes out about the seeds and the dates, and it's this incredible, the olive tree and the pomegranate. And then in spite of all of that, they say, oh, it's the jinn. And Allah created the jinn. So what are you on about? You know, Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth. This is your Lord. La ilaha illahu khaliqu kulli shay'in fa'budu. You have to sit with the translation and go through this. Profound. And this is now brings us to the last page. And so there's this incredible emphasis on abandoning polytheism and how the gods that they associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are weak, pathetic, they have no power. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't curse their gods though, because if you curse their gods, they'll curse your gods back. In hatred, without knowing, they don't do it. It's just natural human impulse. You swear at somebody's dad, he swears back at your dad, not because he knows, but that's just natural human impulse. So don't say anything. And so that brings us, inshallah, to the end of this. And I find all the lessons, we have Ethiopia, the discussion on Najashi and his people and the Christians, and that even in the end times, the Prophet ﷺ said, your alliance will be with the Christians. The legacy of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. I feel like I was meant to add a few more and I just happened to forget. These amazing discussions of the prophets, and this final section on just it's like a design argument for the power, will, knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if people follow philosophy or religion. Zooming in for today, an incredible verse that we definitely don't have time. Again, this Surah An'am, I have to say, I did Hifz al-Quran, but I sat and I really read through this, and I was just absolutely blown away by the immense nature of just divine knowledge that's presented here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, and He created everything with just this impeccable precision. وَمَا مِنْ دَا There's not an animal on the earth. Like daba is like this walking animal. وَلَا طَائِرٍ يَطِيرُ, or birds that fly in the sky with their wings, except their nations just like you. Their nations just, they're protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's ordained their rizq. They have their systems. They have their migrations. You have to watch David Attenborough. David Attenborough will give you the tafsir of this verse. You have to, and you know, they have leaders among their people, they have wives, they have, you know, even horses. I read this book about horses because I've got tafsir of Surah Adiyat. But they have like communities, and they have this amazing alliance. They're so protective over one another that they fight shoulder to shoulder to protect each other. They're like nations. You look at them and they're like just, they're nations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also created. They have languages. That's what the Quran says. We just don't understand their languages. So there's this incredible just learning about the animal kingdom. You have this immense appreciation for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says, مَا فَرَّتْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We have left nothing out of the book. Everything's in the book. You want God, you got to read the book. You have to read this book. This book has all the guidance that you have, you need. And ultimately, they will all be gathered back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be gathered. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it be a gathering of good. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and our communities and ourselves in this blessed month of Ramadan, to protect Ahlul Gaza, to protect the Muslims of the UK. I'm recording this in advance, but you know, we've had the announcement today, Michael Gove. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll see you tomorrow for the next session on Juz 8. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.